joy to me and to those that are going to be going into the water. Baptism is a recognition of what Jesus has already done for Ben and James. It is a picture of our dying to self and to sin and being raised to new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that will be what we'll be doing towards the end of the service. But first we will begin by singing God's great praise and giving thanks to him for the Lord Jesus in the words of our first hymn, which is number 328 in the blue praise hymn books. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honour give to his holy name. Let's sing together, we'll stand to sing number 328. Well, let's bow our heads as we come to pray. Let's pray. Our loving and ever gracious Father in heaven, we thank you that we can draw near to you, knowing that you are holy and righteous, that in you is no sin, that you've never done anything that is wrong, and that indeed you are full of grace and mercy and love. We thank you that you have been so generous to us and so good to us. And we thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us even this day. And we thank you for gathering us together this afternoon, that we might be able to give you thanks and to celebrate your kindness to undeserving people. That we can remind ourselves of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour. We can remind ourselves of his kindness and of his love. And that we have this wonderful opportunity to give thanks to you again and give thanks particularly to your kindness to James and to Ben. Lord, we thank you for these dear young men. We thank you that you have made them in your image. And we thank you that you have brought them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we marvel at that, and how we thank you that this day we can think of the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can know that although we have broken your holy and righteous law, that there is forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is acceptance through faith in your beloved Son. We ask as we draw near to you that you would indeed forgive us our sins, that you would help us to have a hatred for sin and to love only what is good, that you would help us to listen to and to put into practice all the words of your word, the Bible, that we would love your word and that we would grow in our understanding of it. We pray too that you give us a sense of your majesty and your glory as we gather together as your people. We pray that you would speak to us from your word as we look at it later, and that you would help us to rejoice together in your kindness to those that have fallen short of your glory, as all have done. Oh Father, we thank you that we can gather together this day to rejoice and to celebrate in your goodness. And we pray that you would give James and Ben strength as they stand before us and they give their testimony, as they confess their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their desire to follow him all the days of their lives. Lord, give them that strength that they need, we pray, and help us to encourage them this day too as they go through the waters of baptism. So, Father, we do again thank you for your love and your kindness shown to us this day, and pray that you'd receive our prayers and our praise, for we ask them in the Lord Jesus' great name. Amen. Amen. James, can I ask you to come up and give your testimony, please?
I have been to church all my life, hearing Bible stories, but didn't think they had any importance to my life, as I heard them so many times. I thought that I was a Christian, as both my parents are Christians, and I knew more about the Bible than others in my class. After starting secondary school, I began listening more to services and singing the hymns. Then I went to CY, my church's youth group. I heard the true meaning of why Jesus came, that this message is for everyone, including me. I remember Tony saying that people can sin for long periods of time if they don't love the Lord God with all their heart, mind, soul and strength. I knew then I wasn't as innocent as I thought, and I realised I had to change. I then heard at Yorkshire Camps that Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever, which encouraged me that Christ will accept me, whatever I have done or whatever I will do, if I put my trust in him. After hearing the Bible stories again, I have realised that all... After hearing the Bible stories again, I have realised that they all point to Christ and that he... that they are important to me. Since becoming a Christian, I have started praying and reading my Bible daily. I have also done outreach, including pathfinders and helping on beach teams and Yorkshire camps. I end up giving out gospels in the town. I try to be more patient with others as I live my life more like Christ.
Thank you, James. I'm going to sing now a hymn that James has chosen for a service, which is number 699. Number 699, beneath the cross of Jesus I gladly take my stand, the shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way, from the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. Number 699. You. Well, Ben, could I now invite you up to come and share your testimony? Thank you.
Hey, as you all know, I've been going to church all my life with my mum and dad being Christians, and because of this, I've never doubted the existence of God or anything like that, and I always believed what was in the Bible as fact. And this is obviously good, and I thank the church for this, things like CY and preaching from Tony and John, as well as my parents, obviously. But I know that isn't what made me a Christian. I knew how to become a Christian from a very young age, going along to church clubs and UVM in Whitby, but I always thought it was something I could do when I was older and understood things more. It was when I was in the Corp car park in Whitby, about age 7, that I remember asking for forgiveness and a relationship with Jesus for the first time. I was talking with my mum about whether various people were Christians, and I remember saying that the important thing is whether I'm a Christian. So there and then, I prayed to God to become a Christian, as I realised it needed to be done now. Since then, I've tried to do what God wants of me, like reading the Bible and being a witness for him, and it can be hard at times, but I know God helps me with it. It's great to be able to share the gospel now in things like Pathfinders and UBM, and these sorts of things helping me grow as a Christian, as well as listening to ministry here every week. It's great to be baptised now as a witness, and because the Bible commands it, and I hope to continue to grow as a Christian over the years to come.
Thank you, Ben. And Ben has chosen our next hymn, which is number 595 in the Christian hymn books. Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart, nought be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Number 595. Thank you. Again, let's bow our heads as we come to pray. Let's pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come to you and that we can give you particular thanks for the grace that you have shown to both James and to Ben. And we thank you for how you have revealed yourself to them, how you have shown them their sin and their need of a Saviour, and how you have granted them a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for James and for the many blessings that you have given him throughout his life. And thank you that he can give testimony to how his parents and how the church have shared the gospel with him and read from the scriptures with him from a young age. And yet, Lord, we know that those things could not bring him to that position of his understanding, his need to repent of his sins and to put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we praise you and we thank you for that great blessing that you have bestowed upon James. And we thank you for the great blessing that that is to his family and to the church family as well, to see him professing his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing him walk with his Saviour. Lord, we praise you too for Ben, and thank you for him, and again for the rich blessings that you have given to him. Again, we thank you for bringing him up in a Christian family again, one who is zealous for your name and who desired above all else to see their son come to salvation in Christ. And thank you for that that conversation many years ago now in the car park. And Lord, we thank you for bringing Ben to that position of realizing his need of a Saviour, that he was a sinner and he was not able to stand before you in all your holiness. And yet we thank you that his salvation in Christ means that he can stand assured in your presence, clothed in his glorious righteousness. And so, Father, we thank you for how you have brought both James and Ben to this point. We ask that you would continue to be gracious towards them, continue to teach them from your word, keep them close to yourself and protect them, we pray, that we might rejoice as we see them growing in grace and seeing them grow into to men of God. Lord, we pray that you would use them greatly in the work of the kingdom, that you would strengthen them for everything that you have planned for them. And Lord, that you would enable them to be bold in their witness to those around them, whether it's those at college, university, in the workplace, or later on in life. Lord, we pray that they would grow in their love for the Lord Jesus, grow in their understanding of our unworthiness to be called by his name, and yet the great joy and the great love that you have for all of your children. Oh, Father, we delight that we can be here this day to give you thanks for both Ben and for James, and for you bringing them to not only to faith, but to this desire to be baptized. So, Father, we thank you again for all your grace and all your love shown us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to read from God's word. So if you would turn to Romans chapter 1 in your Bibles, to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 8 down to verse 17 of Romans chapter 1. So Romans chapter 1, and I'll begin the reading at verse 8. Let's listen carefully to God's words. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am bound both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Amen. Well, today we've gathered together to witness two young men being baptised. And this is taking place because James and Ben have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. This is taking place because James and Ben have understood the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, and have responded to that good news as the good news that it is. Now, I don't know about you, but I suspect that you prefer to hear good news than bad news. I can certainly say that that is the case for me. And therefore, you can be glad that today I want to declare good news to you. For that's what the gospel is all about. It is about good news, and it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. But in order to understand the good news, we need to see our desperate states that we are in. We need to see that our standing before God is no standing at all. That we couldn't even come into his presence because he is holy. Now we see each day around us, we see the brokenness and the fallenness of the world. And yet we become immune to it. We're not impacted by it in the same way as perhaps we once were. We're so used to hearing bad news and seeing people behave in a way that we know is not right. We see it all the time around us. How often do you weep when you listen to the news on the radio or watch the news on the TV? The fact that we don't, and we see the things that happen in our broken world. We see the violence and the destruction and the death that wars bring about. We see the evil acts of terrorism and so on and so forth. We hear of the abuses that go on in our society. And yet we're used to them, aren't we? We hear about them. And it's only when something that is beyond what we're used to hearing or seeing that it really affects us, and that it hits home just what man is like and just what the world is like. We're too easily become used to the things that we see around us. And so, sadly, it seems that it affects our ability to understand what is said in God's words. It means that we don't see things as we should see them. We don't see the world around us as we should see it. And we don't see God as we should see him and understand God in all his glory and righteousness and goodness and holiness. That instead we compare ourselves with the people around us, and we think to ourselves, therefore, that we are good. And so this afternoon I want us to think for a moment what this good news is that Paul speaks about here in verse 16. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Notice he begins by talking about shame. And again, that little word shame reminds us of how immune we become to the sinfulness and the wickedness of the world and the sinfulness and the wickedness of our own hearts. There is so much in our lives that we should be ashamed of. There's so much in the lives of those around us that they should be ashamed of. And in a distant past, people used to say that to people. When they saw somebody else behaving in a sinful way, they would say, you should be ashamed of yourself. But we rarely hear those sorts of words anymore. You see, people are ashamed of the things that they shouldn't be ashamed of, and unashamed of the things that they should be ashamed of. It shows that there is something wrong inside us. We have got our values wrong. But things are upside down. And so people try to look like they are good. And when people point out to them that perhaps they're not as good as they make themselves out to be, that they get angry and hostile towards you. You see, because people try to hide what they're really like. They don't want to be exposed. But the Bible, the Word of God, tells us that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. That God sees everything and he knows everything, and therefore he knows what we are like. He sees you just as you are. He not only knows what you say and what you do, but he knows what motivates you inside. He can see right into your heart. He knows the very reasons why we do things. He is so completely aware of what you are like. He is aware of all your wrongdoings. He is aware of the guilt that you feel. He is aware of it all. Now imagine if a biography was written about your life. I wonder what you would hope would be in there and what you would want to be in there. But then imagine that this biography was no ordinary biography, but rather it included everything. And I mean everything. Everything that we'd ever thought, everything that we'd ever said, everything that we had ever done. It'd be a pretty big book, wouldn't it, for a start? But it would be a book that we wouldn't want other people to see, would we? Because we know that within that book there would be every unkind thought that we'd had, even towards people that we say that we love. Every nasty word that we'd said. Every evil action. The whole lot would be there in that book for all to see. Imagine if it captured all the times when you had decided not to help somebody when you knew that you could help them and you saw they were in need. Every time you didn't bother to do what you knew was good and right. And that you would want others to do for you. I wonder how you would feel about such a book. And the answer should be that we would feel ashamed. We should feel deeply ashamed. And I confess that if there was such a book of my life like that, I would be deeply ashamed. I would want to hide. But that's the reality, isn't it? That's the reality of what we are like. That feeling of shame would be overwhelming as our family or our friends looked upon that book. But listen to this. In the last book of the Bible, in Revelation, there is a picture of what it will be like on that last day when you have to stand before the judgment throne of God. And that people were so ashamed of themselves, rather than standing in the presence of Jesus, they will call upon the rocks to fall upon them and crush them. Such is their shame. You see, fundamentally, we know what is right and what is wrong. That we know that the things that we do often aren't what is right, but what is wrong. Our conscience tells us. We feel those feelings of guilt, even when we're on our own. And yet Paul doesn't say, I'm not ashamed of how I used to be. He doesn't say, I'm not ashamed of the things that I said or I did. But he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news. Because it is indeed good news. Because he goes on to say, it is the power of God for salvation. You see, the gospel is just what we need. That having reminded ourselves of what we are truly like, what we need more than anything is we need to be saved from our sin. And we have no ability to change ourselves. Not one bit. We can try all sorts of things, but fundamentally we cannot change ourselves because there is something wrong deep in our hearts. But Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Look at the beginning of Romans, if you have your Bible open. He describes the gospel in verse 2. He says, the gospel he, God, promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What Paul is saying there is the good news is about a person. It's about Jesus Christ. And he's saying that this is revealed in the Old Testament. As one of the boys, James and Ben, said, that they now come to this understanding that all the Old Testament stories are pointing us to Jesus. That in the Old Testament it was revealed by the prophets that God would send his Son into the world. That he would live a perfect life. That he would die a perfect sacrificial death. And he would be raised from the dead by the power of God. And that would be a great declaration that Jesus Christ is indeed the only Saviour of sinners. That's why Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel. He recognizes that he was unable to change himself, but he says in the gospel, it is the power of God, that God is able to change us. He is able to change our hearts. He is able to change our desires, that they might no longer be for sinful things, or they might no longer be selfish things, but they might be to please him. And to live in a way that is in line with what he is like. A life in a pursuit of holiness and righteousness and goodness. You see, Paul is expressing that this power of God was used to raise Jesus from the dead. And elsewhere he speaks of how that is the same power that is at work in Christians. That as we come to an understanding of our need of a Saviour, and we realise that Jesus is that only Saviour, that God works his power in us and works a resurrection in us. He gives us a new birth. He gives us new life. This is not something that we can do, but that God does. That it is his power. But also it was his plan. That he sent his Son into the world to be the Saviour. That's why it is good news. And we read that around this time, don't we? As we think upon the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the angel saying that this is good news. That is for all the people. That a Saviour has been born. He's Christ the Lord. A Saviour. That one who was born and placed in a manger is the Saviour. He's the only one that can save you from your sin. He's the only one that can deal with your guilt. He's the only one that can make you acceptable to God. So that on that day, you won't call for rocks to fall upon you in your shame. But that you will be able to stand there and say, I have put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's what Ben and James are doing today, that they are standing before you and they are declaring that they are not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. See, the gospel is a glorious thing. It meets our greatest need. It deals with our greatest need, because our greatest need is that we have been separated from God, that a relationship that we should have has been broken by our sin. And that sin is so serious that it requires death. And yet, in God's grace and in his mercy, he sent his Son, who died on a cross as a sacrifice for sins, for the sins of all that would put their trust in him. And that was the very reason he came into the world. He came down from heaven to be the Saviour. That people like you and I might be able to put our trust in him. You see, it's not something that is automatic. Notice that this salvation is for everyone who believes. We have to believe it. We have to believe the testimony of God. We have to understand that we are sinful and that sin deserves punishment. We have to be willing to accept that and to be also willing to accept that there is but one Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that by trusting in him, that all our sins will be washed away. They will be dealt with. They will be no more. That's why Paul says in verse 17 here, for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. He's saying that that's what we need in order to stand before a holy and righteous God. We need to be righteous, and that is impossible for someone that is a sinner. Unless you put your trust in Jesus. And then it is as if he clothes you with his righteousness. That he deals with your sin and your guilt and your shame on the cross by his death. And that he gives you a righteousness as a gift. This righteousness from God that Paul speaks about here. If you have known this, if you know these things, if you know that you were a sinner standing before a holy God, and if you have come to that point of putting your trust in him, you will know what it does. You will know that change that comes into our lives. You will know that lifting of the weight of guilt and sin that we feel. And that no longer do we feel that guilt towards God, but our desire is to live for Christ and to follow him, to listen to what he says and seek to obey it by his power. And we know that has come of God, that has come from God, because we were not able to change ourselves. You see, if you are a human being here today, as you all are, then you are part of the everyone, or the possibility of the everyone. Because the gospel isn't just for adults as opposed to children, or children as opposed to adults. It's not just for those that think they are good. Indeed, it's probably really not for those that think they are good. That will block them from coming. But we need to see that we are sinful, that we are dirty before God. And it's not just for some nations or some groups of people, but it is for everyone who believes. And therefore it is a message that everyone needs to hear. So what must we do to qualify? What must we do to qualify to receive this salvation from sin? Well, the answer isn't that you have to go to church. The answer isn't that you have to read your Bible. The answer isn't that you have to give money to the poor or stop behaving in certain ways. Being kind to strangers or whatever else we could think that we might do that would be good. We can't do anything. That's the point. We can't do anything, but it is the offer of a free gift from God. But he offers us his Son as our Saviour and as our Lord. There's no one that can qualify for it. We know that all of us have sinned and therefore have fallen short of God's glory, of his standard of righteousness. But that's why it is such good news. Because however bad you are, that this gift of righteousness, this offer of the forgiveness of sins, deals with your sins. Indeed, the very man who wrote this letter referred to himself as the chief of sinners, the worst of sinners. And yet, he knows what it is. Or he knew what it is to be forgiven. And so he can say those words, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." See, instinctively, we want to work our way to God. We want to make amends for the things that we've done, but we can't do that. God says there's one way, and that way is to trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To trust in His perfect sacrifice. But that is the only way to know the forgiveness of sins. That is the only way to heaven. And it is that way that no one may boast before God. Because God is the one who saves. So, do you see that this is good news? Do you understand that this is the most wonderful news that you could possibly hear? Do you realize that this message is for you? Now, you will be in it, come from all sorts of different circumstances. Maybe you sit before me this afternoon and you are aware that you're not a Christian. And you need to take seriously what I've said about your standing before God. Think of that book and the shame that you would feel. Think about the fact that despite that God knows everything about you, that this offer of the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life is made. God already knows what you're like. So although people around you might be surprised to find out things about you, there's no surprises to God. And yet He still says in His Son, the Lord Jesus, come to me and I will give you the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. Maybe you came here this afternoon thinking that you're a Christian and now you're starting to wonder whether you are. Because you realize that a Christian is not trusting in what they do, but rather they're trusting in what Jesus has done. You suddenly realize that you can't save yourself from your sins by doing good, no matter what good you might do. I encourage you to repent of your sins, to turn from them, to confess them to God and to put your trust in Jesus Christ alone. Will you do that? I promise you that you will never regret it. Maybe you've come this afternoon and you know that you're a Christian, but you realize that you've lost sight of the wonder of your sins forgiven. You've lost sight of the beauty and the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's the case, again, come to God, confess it as the sin that it is and ask Him to help you to see again the grace of God shown in the Lord Jesus Christ. And ask Him to help you to follow Christ with a renewed vigor. Or perhaps you've come this afternoon with great joy in your heart, knowing that someone is going to, two young men are going to confess the same faith that you have. That absolute faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that in Him and in Him alone, trusting in nothing else, you know that you have been forgiven your sins. You know that you have been set free from that slavery to sin, and that you know that you belong to Him. Well, may you rejoice greatly as you see these young men be baptized. And may you seek to encourage them and pray for them that they might walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It is good news, the gospel is. It is a wonderful news. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So, will you come to Jesus as James and Ben have? Will you look to Him and Him alone as James and Ben have? Will you receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life through trusting in Jesus and Him alone? As James and Ben have. My sincere prayer for each one of us is that you would do that, that you would put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you would be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Amen. Now we've come to the time of the baptisms, and so I'm going to call James forward first. If people that are towards the back might like to come around the side and around to here so that you can see, then that is very welcome. James, just a reminder, if you have a mobile phone, a wallet, keys, coins, and so on, please remove them from your pockets. Probably also take your shoes and socks off as well. And come and join me and your father in the baptistry. James, I'm going to ask you three questions first before we do the baptism. So firstly, do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons?
I do.
Have you repented of your sin, asking God for forgiveness, and have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I have.
Do you promise to follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly and serve him in this fellowship and in the world, as he gives you strength?
I do.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
Okay, so we're not going to have a look. On your profession of repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, I baptise you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our loving Father in heaven, again we give you all the glory for your great kindness to us. And we thank you for James, and thank you that he has come through the waters of baptism. And Lord, we pray that you would fill him with your Spirit, that you would give him great joy in Christ as he seeks to walk with you. And Lord, that you would use him in the work of your kingdom. And may he grow up to be a man of great Christ-likeness. And may you watch over him and keep him in all that he does. For we ask him in the Saviour's glorious name.
Amen.
Then, so again, you've got no mobile phone, no wallet. Ben, I'm going to ask you the same three questions. So do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons?
I do.
Have you repented of your sin, asking God for forgiveness, and have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
Uh-huh.
Do you promise to follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly and serve him in this fellowship and in the world as he gives you strength?
Uh-huh.
On your profession of repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, we now baptise you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The next time. Our loving and ever gracious Father in heaven, and we thank you again for bringing them into your family through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for how you have kept him in these years that he has professed his faith. We thank you for how he has grown. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to encourage him in his heart, help him to have that deep love of your word and an increasing understanding, and help him to serve you in every way, trusting only in the finished work of the Lord Jesus, but seeking to serve in your kingdom in whatever way you call him to do. Lord, may his life be a life filled with the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, for we ask it all in his wonderful name.
Amen.
And we're now going to sing our final hymn, which is number 120 in Christian Hymns, Grace is the Gospel of Our Glorious God. And please stand to sing.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, let's pray. Our loving and gracious Father in heaven, oh, how we thank you for the joy that we can share together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we thank you that it is such a joy to us as a church family and to the wider church when we see youngsters being baptized, confessing their faith and giving the Lord Jesus all the glory. So, Father, we pray that you would encourage each of our hearts, you would challenge those that don't know Christ, that you would be gracious to them, and that you would cause each one of us to see more of the glory and the wonder of our precious Saviour, for we ask it in his wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.